Welcome to Da Vinci's Discourse, where the minds of today's most innovative entrepreneurs are unveiled and explored. And my name is Kyle Campbell, your guide on this journey into the depths of the entrepreneurial psyche. So sit back, relax, and get ready to dive into the minds of the greats. This is Da Vinci's Discourse.
Okay, man, beauty. Dude, so Greg, awesome to have you here, man. It sounds like you got some amazing insights you're about to share with me. So dude, tell me about yourself. If somebody were to ask you who you are, what would you tell them?
It depends on who's asking. And so we were chatting right before, but like, first and foremost, I'm a dad, I'm a husband, I've got three amazing boys, I'm a baseball coach, but I'm a creator and a maker. And that's like where, like, day one, like foundational, every single day, I have to create something or make something. It's what brings me alive is putting something out into the world. I believe that's what we're all here to do. And so when people ask really what I do, like, I create things, I make things, whether that's, you know, content, like what we're doing right now, like one of my favorite things to do, but also just tinkering, making things, e-commerce businesses, product-based businesses. And just, I have this soft spot for people that, you know, come out of the shadows and take their ideas and put them out into the world. I love them, because that's what the world needs, right? We need more people who are not afraid to get out into the world, who are just like, hey, I got an idea, I'm going to throw it out there. It is scary, it is hard. And, you know, those are the people that I resonate most with. That's who I am. And it's who I want to help.
Hell yeah, dude. I love it. Same here, man. We got some similarities in that aspect for sure. So dude, tell me about Grommet, because it sounds like you've got some insights in terms of what an entrepreneur can do to bring their business to a whole nother level. You've got the step-by-step overview to see what's working for individuals. So I want to get into a little bit about that. So tell me about Grommet and the successes that you've had, and then we'll be able to actually drill into the strategies that are working.
Totally, man. So Grommet, it's a product discovery platform for new and emerging brands. And what I love about this is, right now, if you look at the marketplace, you want to bring a product to market, you've got a couple options. You can hit up all your friends and family, you get your phone out, you start texting them like, yo, man, like, buy my product, right? And then the next step, the next wave of that is you got to go spend a bunch of money, right? Whether that's Meta ads, TikTok ads, you know, go out and try to find influencers, but now you got to pay them a ton. Like, it's really expensive. Or you got to go hire an agency. There's really no place where you can get your product discovered by shoppers to really validate your product, to get your messaging out there, and to get those, you know, looking at like Kevin Kelly's 1,000 true fans, where do you get those first 100, 500, 1,000 shoppers that are going to be those ground floor supporters of your business? And Grommet really is that place for these new and emerging brands. We relaunched the platform. Grommet's actually been around since 2008. We relaunched it last year as this discovery platform. We've launched more than 630 products since September 1st of last year, wow, all small independent makers, and we connect them with shoppers. So on the other side, I live and play on the maker and the brand side, but we have more than 3.5 million shoppers on our email list and our social communities that want to find these new products. So it's like the perfect match. These new brands want to be found and discovered, and then there's millions of shoppers who, they don't want to go to Amazon, they don't want to go to Target, they don't want to go to Walmart, they want to go directly to the maker and say, you know what, I want to support small business, I want to help this small business owner and buy from them directly. And so Grommet is that connection place. The other cool thing is that we allow the shoppers to buy directly from makers. So, you know, that if you buy something from Amazon, and look, my wife loves Amazon too, we get Amazon boxes in the house all the time, there's a place for it. But when you buy and support a small business on Amazon, that small business doesn't even know that you bought the product, right? They just know that you're a number in the machine. Amazon also takes a big fee out of your pocket. We don't do any of that. Right now, it's actually free for brands to launch on Grommet. We send them free sales and they check out on your Shopify store. So you own the customer, you own the data, you can have that relationship, because that's where it all happens, man. Like, if you had a direct line to the person who made your cell phone case and you could say, hey man, love your case, but what if you did this? Isn't that the coolest thing in the world? And so we really believe in empowering these makers through helping them to build their business. So long story short, that's what Grommet is. And that's kind of where we live in the space today.
Yeah, I love that, dude, because you're actually helping them build email lists so they can keep in touch with their client base. And then on the client side, you're helping them be able to keep in touch with the makers of the products and the services they're buying, so that way they can have that opportunity to have these relationships built over time. Whereas, like you said, on Amazon, right, you can't get in contact with the person who sold you the phone case, nor can they get in contact with you, which is a major problem. Because what if 6 months down the line, they come up with a new innovative phone case that's completely changing the game? They can't get in contact with you to let you know that something has changed and that there's a better option out there for you now, right? So,
right. Isn't that like the best way to grow your business though? Is like people that already supported you and bought from you and you're like, hey, I got version 2 coming out, or I got a new color that came out, or we have a brand new product that came out. Yeah. Why don't I tell the 1,000 people that bought the last one, right? Yeah. Like, isn't that the most powerful way to grow your business? And you're absolutely right. And you know, the other side is like on an Amazon, and I'm not picking on Amazon again, I'm a fan of it, but like you don't know who you're necessarily buying from either, because is this a knockoff coming from China? Is this the actual product owner? Is this just something like Amazon branded? Like, so you going directly to maker, I know that you made this cup, I'm buying from you, and I can know and trust you that you're, I'm going to get what you say you created. So yeah, it's a super cool connection.
It is cool because you're kind of having that middleman position, kind of like an Airbnb or an Uber, right? So you're not owning the products. You're not owning, you're essentially driving, you're the middle piece that's in between the product and the buyer of the product, right? Which is, I love that connection. It's the most strategic marketplace position to take, I think. It's beautiful because you're a matchmaker. You're the Tinder of helping people get the products that they want, right?
And I'll take it.
And that's what it is, baby. And I love it. Yeah. So you're bringing the people together, which is very cool. So let's get into a little bit of what you find is working from the back end, because you've got, like I said, the overarching view of everything that's working for these individuals. So let's say that somebody's running an e-commerce company, because it sounds like that's kind of the bread and butter of you know, Shopify era, right? So what if we were to run an e-commerce, you know, a store selling phone cases or whatever it might be? What are some things that we can do to go about improving our sales process and be able to have that relationship with the clients like we talked about?
Yeah, let's start like foundational. And this really doesn't matter if you're an e-commerce brand, if you're an agency founder, if you're selling info products, like whatever that you're selling, is that I truly believe, and we see it with the data, is that people buy from people. They buy from people that they know, like, and trust. We live in a world where it's super easy. Jump on ChatGPT, make one of those like faceless YouTube channels. And like that might work for the quick buck, but we just saw literally this week as we're recording this, Google just blacklisted and delisted millions of AI generated sites. Millions of them gone overnight because Google realized that nobody wants these nameless, faceless brands. They want to connect with real people. And so the people that have had the most success on Grommet are the people who are like, hey, I'm Greg. I invented this product. Here's why I invented this product. Here's what we're doing to help people. Here's how we created it. And it's this real transparent loop that is so powerful. I've always believed people buy from people. They buy from people they know, like, and trust. It's why your followers listen to your podcast. They love seeing you every week. They know what they're going to get. They know, like, so it is so important, I think, more than ever in an era where you could just AI everything, to get in front of your brand, tell your story. Why did you create the product? The newsletter, you know, if you have a newsletter, should feel authentically from you and not just like 10% off today, 20% off tomorrow. Like, what's the connection, man? Like, so that is foundational. Again, whether you're e-com, service, digital products, whatever it is, be the face of your brand. Because that is the one thing that people can't clone. It's the one thing people can't steal, right? If you have a cool phone case, someone could go to China and basically build that same phone case. But what they can't build is, why did you build that phone case? Why did you come up with the idea for the product? Maybe it was something that, you know, we have this really cool one. It's for, let me see if I can find it. Like, oh, here it is. Oh, I love this. Yeah. So this one right here, right? Really cool, innovative phone case from Koala. And it's for people that like go like hiking and like mountain hiking and like stuff like that, right? You could probably copy and do something very similar to this, but the story of the hiker getting hurt on a mountain because they tried to grab their phone while taking like a picture, and then they like went off the mountain. Now they have a safety net because you can clip this on and your phone will never fall off. You're probably like, it's so cool. Like, that's a real genuine story, real human connection. How many other people hiking or doing mountains or outdoor activities or fishing or whatever can relate to this? So yeah, people buy from people. They buy from people that they know, like, and trust. That, to me, that's like foundation. And I think that's only going to get more important as the world becomes more AI and, you know, people try to hide behind a computer.
No shit, right? You see it happening like crazy. You see those YouTube channels that pop up and it's like, blah, 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 blah. And you can tell it's an AI generated voice with just B-roll that was generated. And it's like, oh, come on, man. Like, some of them get a lot of views because they tap into the trends, but, you know, there's no real connection. There's no that human connection there. And I'm fascinated by AI, don't get me wrong. And I'm interested into seeing how we can go about in the future being able to create Because this is the way that I see AI taking place in the marketing world right now, is it's facilitating connections, but you don't want to replace the connection with the AI. Is I see
Nailed
it as
it.
the yellow brick road that leads to the connection with automaticity, the yellow brick road that brings the client to the area where you can connect with them. But if you try to replace the connection, or it's just a yellow brick road leading to more yellow brick roads, it's like there's no connection there, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Same, and I love AI, right? Like, we leverage the heck out of it, but I think AI shouldn't be the voice. AI should be like everything that you just said. It should be all the research, taking out all the data, processing all the data, coming up with the ideas, and then you use your own voice to create the content or the piece or whatever it is, and then you use AI for amplification of that, right? I think, again, I'm a big AI fan. Like, it's going to save us so much time. It's going to allow us to be in more places, but it has to be come from here, right? Like, I always say the head and the heart, right? That's where it's got to come from. It's your intelligence, your smarts, your emotions, your thoughts, your experiences. And then it's got to come from a place where you genuinely care. I think that's the other piece, is like, do you genuinely care about your audience? Again, I've been in this world for like 15, 20 years now. I've seen it all, especially like on the digital info marketing side. And it's just like, I don't know, just here's 100 niches that can make you a lot of money. And you just like pick one off of a list. Like, do you genuinely care about that niche that you just picked, or are you just doing it to make money because some guru or expert or whatever said, here's 100 great niches? But again, like you said, like, this is something that, like, yeah, you could probably get some hacks and tricks and tactics and make a couple sales and make a couple bucks, but is that something that you could see yourself doing 5 years, 10 years, 20 years down the road? And, you know, I see it all the time. Like, they're like, oh, I started in the affiliate world. I started selling these like kind of iffy products. And then I figured out that, no, I actually genuinely have to care about my products if I want to do this for the next 20 years of life. Right.
Yeah. You find that, right? Cause you'll get into a business and then you see the tapering down, or even the statistics of it. Most businesses fail within 5 years, and it's because they don't have that genuine passion for the product, for the people that they're serving. And so the excitement from the beginning wears off, kind of like a Tinder date, and it goes downhill. Right. But we could drop the Tinder metaphor. I don't know. I'm in a Tinder mood today, I guess, but you know what I mean? Right. Cause you get the excitement, the romance off the beginning. And then it's like, oh, this is kind of, you know, it's not what I'm looking for.
Where's the real genuine connection, right? Where's the human connection?
Yeah, exactly, dude. That's what I'm talking about. And so let's say that I'm an e-commerce company and I'm coming to you as a consulting client. Where would we go about starting so that I can have this story that's the foundation of my marketing, so that I can connect with the people? Where would we begin? And then we can kind of move through the process step by step in terms of exponentializing my store.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, just looking back at like, why did you create this product, right? I mean, again, that's so simple. Like, it's the easiest, like, everyone's going to ask you that question. Like, why did you create this product? And I think you have to have a decent story there. And if you don't have a story there, you're probably selling the wrong product, which is hard because you probably just got a bunch of inventory sitting in your corner, right? Yeah, which is, that's bad timing. But you should genuinely have some reason why you wanted to create these products. I'm looking at the Grommet right now. I got it open on a window over here. And I'm looking at like the top product on Grommet right now is a product called Fox Gloves. And they're these like gardening gloves that they look beautiful. They look like they're from the 1950s, like the Marilyn Monroe era. They're like super long, go to your elbow, but they're like gardening gloves. And they created them because there was nothing in the marketplace like it. Their hands kept getting cut up. They had like arthritis was starting to happen, and they wanted to design something that would allow them to feel good and not get injured or hurt or cut or whatever it was, or scraped, while they're out there gardening. And like, there's this really cool story and connection behind it. And guess what? Now thousands and thousands of women are like, have the same problem and have the same issue. And it starts with like your connection to your product. The second layer of this is, what is your shopper's or your customer's connection with the product? Because that's the second level of storytelling. It's like, now you're getting all these stories of other people using your product. How did they use it? How did it change their life? How did it make their day just a little bit better? And those are kind of the two connection pieces. It's like, what's your connection to the product? And then what are your customer's connections to the product? If you're in early days, e-com, just got your first, you know, set of inventory. So we did this somewhere over here, like there's some sunglasses back here. This is my son's brand. My son, he's 11 years old, started a sunglass brand for young athletes. And we got our first, you know, 300 pieces of inventory. The first 100 of those 300, we gave away for free because we wanted to see, like, you know, we wanted pictures of the kids using it. How were they using it? What sports were they using it in? Like, we didn't know that there was a ton of like flag football players wearing the glasses. And like, we just got it out into as many hands as possible so we could get their stories. I think in those early days, we like hold on to our inventory. I don't want to give it out, but like, you have to get those stories. What are the use cases? How are people using your product? And then you can develop storylines, and whether it's ad creative or whether it's landing pages or whatever it is, around all of these things. So what's your connection to the product? And then what is your customer and your shopper's connection to the product? Those two things are like paramount. Those are day one, because now you can take all that info and now you got to do all the work, right? Now it's, What does my product page look like? What's the creative and images that I need to create that support all of these stories? What's the videos that I need to shoot? What are the ads? What does social media look like? You can't do any of that until you have your connection to the product and your shopper's connection to the product. Well, you can, but you're just guessing at that point.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's going to be crap.
That's the point. Exactly. You don't want to be guessing. You want to be basing it off the data that you can get from the marketplace. I love how you gave the 100 away for free. He gave the 100 away for free, even cooler. And then you bring that into the marketing aspect. You kind of understand what you're going to be using it for, the target audiences, the problems that they're facing, the solution that you're offering, all kinds of shit that you can go into because of that. So I love the testing phase. My question is, because you've seen all the data from Grommet, you've got all of the statistics in terms of what's worked. What are some elements in these stories? And we'll move past stories after this to the next step, but what are some elements in these stories that you found are consistent in all of the successful campaigns that you've seen? Tactically speaking, how do they begin? What are the hooks? How do you make it so that you have a successful storytelling experience so that people can have that connection?
Yeah, I wish I had like some crazy like scientific theory for all of this, but to us, the ones that have been the most connected are actually just the most raw and real. And so what I mean by that is, you know, you see these people come in like all these highly produced things, they got the fancy graphics, the cameras, all that. The best ones that we have, bar none, are just a phone right in front of a maker's face. And they're just like, hey, I'm Harriet. I'm the founder of Fox Gloves. Here's why I created it. And it's like 60 seconds. And I'm like, sound like a broken record. Came from the head and the heart, right? Like you genuinely felt like, oh, like that's so cool. Like that's just her. There's no fancy graphics. Yes. Like, it's just me and you having a conversation. Like, hey, what's up? This is Greg. And like, I run Grommet. Grommet's awesome. We help makers connect with shoppers. And like, it's just this cool one-on-one connection. By far, that has worked more than any fancy video package, storytelling, framework. It's just, tell me who you are and what you do. It was actually something I learned this from, he's an internet marketer. It goes by, you know, Frank Kern. He's been around for like 30 years, like forever. Like, tell me what you got. Tell me what it'll do for you. Tell me how to get it. Like the simplest framework of all time. So tell me who you are. Tell me what you got. What'll it do for you and how it'll help you? Like that's been the framework for everything I've ever done. And it's the same thing we tell the makers is like, tell me who you are. I'm Harriet from Fox Gloves. Tell me what you got. I created these really cool gardening gloves that, you know, look awesome. They're fashionable from the 1920s and 30s, and they're going to help you stay clean in your garden. How is it going to help you? Boom. It's going to help with arthritis and joint pain and this. Here's how to get it. Go to Grommet, upvote, get 20% off discount, and you'll be supporting a small business like us. Boom. Like that's the framework. Like so simple. I think we overcomplicate it. We want to, again, we're going in like, what are the 100 top hooks that are working on TikTok right now? And I get it. There are things that will boost, I got a buddy, Ryan McGinn, who's one of the top TikTok guys out there right now, doing stuff for like the Grant Cardones of the world and the, you know, Kinkitos of the world. And he tests like thousands of these, but these are guys getting millions and millions and millions of views. And it's the difference between a 500,000 viewed video and like a 1,000,000 viewed video. You're starting with zero, my friend. You got to build that one-on-one connection. Man. And then let's optimize, let's enhance. I just shot a video on this morning. It's a philosophy I learned from Michael Masterson, one of the founders of Agora, one of the top publishing companies in the world. And it's ready, fire, aim, right? Like so many people get caught up in the aiming part because the aiming is subjective. Like what I think is a good video or what you think is a good story, it's going to be different. It's subjective. Yeah. So what I always say is like, when you're ready, all right, I want to go create my first ad, the freaking create it. You know, and then fire it out into the marketplace. Right. Get it live. It out. You want to know the best way to get feedback? Spend $20 on Facebook. Spend $100 on Facebook. And you'll see really quick, did people click on the ad? Did people get to my landing page? Did they buy? And that's where the aiming takes place. All right, they clicked, but they didn't buy. So the ad worked, but the landing page didn't, right? And then you can aim it and get closer to the bullseye. So ready, fire, aim. So those are hopefully two frameworks that can really help listeners out today.
I love that, dude. Yeah, because you're talking about instead of analyzing and overcomplicating and trying to maybe get the perfect script on ChatGPT and then figuring out how you can read the script without making it look like your eyes are going through it. It's like it comes off as this kind of, even if you get the camera angle right without your eyes moving, it still comes off as something is wrong, you know, something off. And so you're talking about just, you know, straight up, this is what it is. This is why I created it, the problem that it can solve for you. Go into the pain points there, which I love, and then how you can get it. Is it bingo, bango, bongo? That's as simple as that. 60 seconds later, and you've got that authentic story that you can put on your site.
The other thing, real quick on that, just with like finding your voice or like, how do I find my voice? And like the number one thing that I've kind of figured out is that you have to word vomit your way into your voice. And so what I mean by that is like whenever I launch something new, like my whole career, I would, you know, in the early days, it was radio and TV. Then it became like podcasts, things like that. I would be like, all right, let me line up 20 podcast interviews because you know what they're going to do? You know, what was the first question? So tell me a little bit about Grommet and what you guys do. Well, if I do that 20, 30 times on camera, I'm
Yeah.
going to start to figure out, it's like a comedian. I'm figuring out what punchlines worked. I'm figuring out where did I feel more confident? Where did, like, I can see you, we're looking at each other on video. Like, when did you smile? When did you light up? When were you bored out of your mind? And like, you word vomit your way into it. You don't have a podcast interview? Great. Go on LinkedIn Live today and shoot a quick 3-minute LinkedIn video about, like, hey, what's up? This is Greg. Today, I want to tell you a little bit about Grommet and this cool new feature that we got. And just word vomit your way into finding what works. It's why comedians spend a year on the road refining their material. It's not just like, all right, Dave Chappelle woke up and he's like, I'm gonna do a Netflix special today, right? He's worked on that material for 6 months, 9 months, 12 months, refined it. And so I think to find that voice, you know, you're like, you're so good on camera, like whatever. No, it's because I word vomit every single day and I figure it out. And you start to become an expert at what it is that you do. You start to figure out how do I tell the story in the best way? The first time you tell your story, it's gonna probably suck. Like, let's just be real, right? Like, I know Gary Vee. A lot of people know Gary Vee. If you look at Wine Library episode one from back in like 2007, 2008, it's terrible. Like, it's dark lighting. He's like, hey, it's Gary Vee, and
I know,
let's
it's
talk about
insane,
wine,
right?
right? Like, and so you're going to not be awesome in the beginning, but it's by word vomiting and getting more confident and having that control over time and refining ready, fire, aim that is going to make it so much better.
So that's probably the number one thing that you can really notice as a pattern occurring is the ready, fire, aim mindset. You know, it comes to any speaking or ordeal when you're going to go in front of an audience. Like what comes to mind is, let's say, Martin Luther King. He probably started off a hell of a lot better than any of us did, but he didn't start off to the I Have a Dream speech. You know, he worked his way there by saying something, seeing how the market reacted, or the audience in this case reacted, taking that feedback in and being able to incorporate that into his next speech, so that by the time he gets to the 50th speech, he knows they're going to react here, 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 and he's cut out all the fat. He's only got the parts that draw out emotions, and then the result of that is I Have a Dream, which is, you know, it's powerful how that
One of the
can
most memorable
hold.
speeches of all
Yeah,
time.
right. It gives him goosebumps even just saying the words. So that's where it comes from, is that iteration over time. But what's important, and I feel like a lot of people miss this, is that feedback from the marketplace. Because like you said, one person, if you might not like something, but other people might respond heavily to that, and you wouldn't expect that unless you had that feedback. So you can even get it, yeah, like you said, from even just a LinkedIn Live, seeing where the reactions are, and just it only takes a couple. You can start to reiterate over time as you're building your presence. So I love it, dude. So let's say that we've got our e-commerce story. We've created the 60-second video, and it is heartfelt and it's authentic, and it's able to draw in on the heartstrings of the people that we're going to buy, that are going to hopefully buy from us. What can we do next to start to optimize our store for sales? What do you see that's working the best?
So next thing I wanted to get into is like, I call it like the power of one. And so many people then try to come out with like, all right, let me create the one video, the one ad, the one image, the one offer, the one, like one is the worst number on the face of the planet, right? The top products, the top makers, the top e-com brands on the planet right now are creating multiple pieces of content on a daily, weekly, monthly basis, right? Like, you know, I don't think you have to get as crazy as like some of these people are like, create 20 pieces a day. Like that's not sustainable, especially in like the early days. But if you just have one, that is a deadly number. And so I think it's finding whatever's gonna work for you, right? To create stuff en masse. And so for some people, like I love talking into cameras. Like I do it all day, every day. I'm comfortable with it. I enjoy doing it. Some people, the camera scares the living daylights out of them, right? Like they don't want to do it. They're nervous. They turn pale in the face. They stumble on every word. Cool. Guess what? Don't do video. You can like write stuff. Like writing on LinkedIn and Twitter can grow your brand just as fast as someone like me or you doing a video on TikTok. It doesn't like find the medium that's going to work for you, that's going to allow you to create a lot of stuff. Like if you love taking pictures on your phone, cool. Pictures with captions work really well on Instagram still, work really well on Facebook still, work really well as ads still. So find the medium that's going to work for you. I don't think that matters, but you have to try multiple, like again, the word vomiting of the voice, but like try multiple things. So the top brands on Grommet, they have a ton of photos to choose from. They have you know, one of the big things, especially with like photography and video, is showing your product in action. I think we got into a place where, you know, the Amazons of the world, things like that, they just wanted your product on a white backdrop. And that was it. Like, just show me the label of your product, throw it on a white backdrop. But as a shopper, well, how does it work? How do I apply it? How do I use it? How is this going to make my life a little bit better? And so one thing we did at Grommet is the website itself is very minimalist, all black, white, very simple. It's the product imagery that makes Grommet come to life. And it's like, well, what does this product look like when I wear it? How do I put it on? How do I wear it? How do I use it? What's like, where am I going to use it? Like if it's a product that you're going to use while you're fishing, show products of a dude on a boat fishing, right? And like show that end result of what that person's going to do. That has been one of the biggest things as far as conversion rate boosters is showing the product, like the end consumer having fun so that the person looking at it can visualize themselves in that scenario, right? Like transportation, that I want to know that like, all right, I'm going to buy this cool hat. This is what the hat's going to look like on me when I'm out at a concert and I'm going to impress all my friends, right? And then you're like, oh, all right, I want that now, right? If you're not bringing your products to life in that way, it's hard for the shopper to visualize themselves having that product. And so that has been one of the biggest conversion rate boosters that we've seen is like photography imagery. We call it lifestyle imagery, but it's really just like, how does your product actually benefit someone and how can you show that off the best way possible? So I know I went a little over the place ranting and raving, but like, yeah, man, I'm hopefully some of this sticks with someone that's watching. And so a lot of creative, find the path that's going to work best for you. And then B, how can you best show your product off so that the shopper can visualize themselves using the product and getting its biggest benefit?
Hey, I hope you're enjoying the podcast. And I want to let you know that I've got a free book that you can get if you want to tap into more of these resources. And you can get that for free at kylesbook.com. Back to the podcast.
Right. That's key because you're talking about having them envision what it's going to be like to have this product. You know, what comes to mind is Ray-Ban, how you can upload, you can choose a pair of glasses that you want and it takes control of your webcam and it will actually put the glasses on your face. What that's doing is instilling ownership before the sale. So that way, it's, right, dude. And it's the same as when you buy a car, they want you to test drive it because you get this is the exact same thing. You get behind the wheel and it starts to feel like yours. And then the way I think about it, dude, is you're instilling beliefs that it will fit in their existing lifestyle, which then contributes to the identity that they have. So that by showing what the product is going to do for them at the end of the day, you're helping them. It's subtle when it comes to this, but it's still taking place. You're helping them envision the identity that they're going to have as this individual who uses this product. And then they step into it. They see, oh, is this better than what I'm doing right now? Or is this worse? It's better. Okay. So how much better is it? Is it worth $20 to be this much better? Yeah, it is. It's a no-brainer. So bam, we were able to make that purchasing decision because they were able to see that they're going to use it, how they're going to use it, how it's going to benefit them, the pains it's going to remove, and how it's going to contribute to their life more than the $20 or whatever it is that they're going to give up to get this product. That's interesting, right? The identity shift that you have to instill to make them want to do it, especially with a new product. Even with glasses in the back with your kid's company, they have to envision themselves wearing this new type of glasses. And you light up when I say the glasses with your kid's company, because that's cool as hell, right? So, but they have to envision themselves wearing this new type of glasses. Mm-hmm. What if they only wore John Lennon round glasses before? And then in the future, you're trying to sell them this new. Right? So you got to show what it looks like on faces. And you said that that's the highest conversion rate improver. What are some other things that we can do to improve the conversion rate on these, on our listings, for example?
Yeah, I think some of the things are, you know, thinking about like, what is the actual offer? I think especially in e-commerce, like in the digital product space, this stuff's easy, right? You're going to get the course, then you get this bonus and you get this bonus, you get a live call with this dude and this, and like the offer is stacked pretty well. But in the e-commerce side, people are just like, buy my iPhone case, it's $25. And that's the offer, right? But what are things that you could do first? Let's talk about like, how do you take the risk away from somebody? Well, try it for 30 days. If you don't like it, send it back. But don't hide that and bury it at the bottom of the page. Like put that right at checkout, right where they're getting ready to convert, so that they know like, hey, if this case doesn't fit my phone, because I'm an idiot and I don't know if I have the iPhone 12 or the 14 or I don't know, man. And so how do you make it easy for them to deal with that? Hey, returns and exchanges. If you get the wrong size, no problem at all. Here's our 800 number, call it, right? Like again, not hiding some of those things to take the risk away from somebody that's just about to buy it. So that's one thing. Are there bonuses or things that you can offer to make the deal a little bit sweeter, right? If you're selling an iPhone case, can you also maybe give it a free screen cleaner? So like it comes free with purchase. So gift with purchase. It works every time. Are there ways to bundle the products? Like buy one, get one 50% off. Buy two, get one free. Buy three, get two free. Like are there ways, and that is going to increase your order value, right? Which, you know, is super important on the e-commerce side. You know, what else can you do? Is there education? Are you going to train someone in how to use the product if they don't know how to use it? Are there, you know, things on that side? So all of these things factor into how you get someone to convert up the page. Reviews, like that's another huge one. People bury the reviews at the bottom of the page. How can you get the reviews right at the top of the page? You know, how can you be honest about your reviews? Because I know that if you have 3,000 reviews, not all of them are 5-star, right? And it's okay to show some of the other ones because it makes me go, cool, this product's awesome, but maybe it's not for me. That's actually a good thing because you didn't get them to buy it, then return it, and then charge you back. And now you're screwed with your credit card companies and all of that and your merchants. Yeah. So like show some of those scars. Also show maybe how you overcome those. Did you reply to this person? Maybe it was just a bad experience and they got to overcome it. So showing off reviews, you know, do you have media mentions and things like that? Were you featured on The Grommet or were you featured on CBS Deals or were you featured on Good Morning America or whatever it is? How can you highlight some of those things to add some social proof and credibility to your offer? And these are all like stair steps. You're not going to have all of these on day one. If you just launch your product, you're going to have 5,000 reviews, but do you have 3 reviews? Highlight them, right? Yeah. You know, it could be your brother's friend's sister. Cool. Put them on the website, right? And so, you know, leveraging these types of things, I think all of this stuff is like foundational to how do we create an offer that is so good that the person who's looking at it would be an idiot not to take it. The other thing, you know, again, just packaging offers. There's so many different pieces of offer. I love offer creations. It's like one of my favorite things on the planet is like, you know, on your page, do you actually share the benefit of your product? What is the outcome or the end result? You talked about identity and transformation. Like that's what people are actually buying. They're not buying an iPhone case. They're buying protection or they're buying safety or they're buying insurance or they're buying like, you know, this peace of mind or they're buying just something freaking cool that their friends don't have. Like, but what is that thing?
Yeah.
And how can you highlight it? So it's not just like product name, a 64 point, you know, steel cased and crate, like, do they really care? Like you can have that down further on the page, but at the top of the page, like this iPhone case will change your life. Here's how, right? Obviously that's a little hyperbolic, but you get that. Like, how can you present that transformation above the fold? So they're like, I landed in the right place. This is what I wanted. That's the benefit that I want. Whoa, look at all those reviews. Cool. I can buy one and get one free. So I can give one to my wife too. And they got a 30-day money back. Oh, this is cake, man. I'm on it. Boom. And then they purchase. So how can you stack the deck in your favor on the offer and not just be like, I don't know, I sell an iPhone case, it's $25. Because that's what most e-commerce businesses do. That's what most of their pages look like. And so you got to make it so attractive, so sexy, so Tinder-like that they're ready to swipe right. I threw in your Tinder.
There we go. Yeah, keep it going, baby. There, you know?
Gotta bring it back.
Love it. Yeah, so dude, that's what I'm talking about. And even when you give something away to give to their wife, for example, it's also, yes, you're stacking the benefit and you're making the value surpass the cost of it. But what that also does is it makes them envision having the product and then the emotions that goes along with that envisioning of giving it to their wife or giving it to their son if they buy 2 pairs of glasses instead of one, the emotions that they feel just by envisioning it. And so what it can come down to is how can you give them that feeling of what it will be like to have the product before they get it and making that as a beneficial feeling or as a positive feeling as possible before they buy the product. Because that's what people buy, is what they think is going to make them feel good. What they're buying is feelings at the end of the day. Like you said, security for an iPhone, that's the feeling of safety, right? So what feeling are you going to be giving to your product? Then the question becomes, well, dude, how do you know what people are going to be interested in, what they're going to need to hear to buy your product? So what are some things that you find? Is it surveys, talking to clients, getting that feedback? And then what are the questions that you ask them? How do you get that feedback to know what to highlight on the page?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. I think it's like listening to customer feedback. Like again, in the e-commerce world, that's so common, right? You get a survey like right after purchase. Why did you purchase? You get the email like a week later. So A, you should have these things in place, right? But like a week later, when somebody should have received the product, you have another email going and saying like, hey, did the product meet your expectations? How are you going to use the product? What was your first thing? And like, the cool thing is like some of my best headlines I've ever written in my entire life came from these. I literally word for word, like from a survey, right? Like that's where you can take a lot of this stuff. The other side is like, obviously you can like look at what's in the marketplace, right? Like what are other people doing? Like, especially like if you're looking at like Meta ads, Facebook ads, looking at something like The Grommet, where we've got like, you can see our trending feed. Like what are the top products? How are they promoting their product? What are their headlines look like? What are their benefits look like? So I think just like being aware of that and not being siloed in your own vacuum where like it's just you in a room and you're only looking at your product all day and you just have blinders on. I think you just have to be self-aware that like there's things going on around you and you have to be able to take that in. And so, yeah, like some of the best headlines I ever got were like, you know, a one-liner in a survey and you're like, oh shit, like that's the thing. Like that's the thing. Like that's what I need to highlight. And the other thing is they're going to tell you like how they're using the product and it's things that you've never thought of before. And so, yeah, just being open and aware to the things that you take in and you consume so that you can push it back out into the market.
What about traffic, man? Because I feel like your platform, Grommet, actually contributes to the traffic portion of it. How do you recommend somebody gets traffic to their site so that they have the opportunity to tell the story, to get the feedback, to get the reviews, to get the sales, and then, you know, building the offer, of course, but then the traffic portion is what comes before the offer. Not really when it comes to creating it, because you create it, generally speaking, you create the offer, then you maybe purchase the products or you drop ship or whatever, but you always need traffic, right? So what are some things that you found that work the best in terms of getting traffic to these e-commerce products?
Well, obviously I want you to launch on Grommet, right?
Yeah.
So that's like piece one. But yeah, so I think that there's these emerging marketplaces like Grommet that are great places to get exposure for your product. And Grommet's not the only one, there's other ones out there. I think in the early days, let's stay cash strapped, right? Like I don't have $5,000 a month to drop on an agency and then go spend ads on top of that. Let's say that we're not there yet. The number one place I would look as like, I'm a one-to-many guy. How can we find partnerships that are going to drive many people to our site at once? And so that could be podcasts in your community. How can you get interviewed by 10? Like if you sell a product to moms, how many mommy podcasts are there out in the marketplace? Mommy Facebook groups, mommy LinkedIn groups, mommy Instagram pods, like mommy Discord channels. Like how can you infiltrate those types of communities and do something cool? Maybe you're going to do a giveaway. Maybe you're going to do a special like presentation for that group and you're partnering and you're going to share like 5 ways that moms can prepare for back to school. And maybe one of the ways is your product, but the other 4 are just super cool, valuable things. How can you get in front of those audiences? And so that's like day one, my number one thing, like of all time. I've been doing presentations on this for like 20 years now. If you remember like Naughty by Nature, I called it OPP. You down with OPP? Yeah, you know me. It's like other people's platforms. Like other people have built platforms that are out there. They've built communities. Yes. They built media properties. They built whatever that it is. How can you leverage those? Some of those are going to be 100% free. Someone out of the goodness of their heart is going to say like, yep, I want you to be on my podcast. Come talk to my audience. Other ones, you might have to create like some kind of an affiliate relationship or a referral agreement. It's like, hey, I want to be on your podcast. I'll give you $10 for everyone that comes to my site and buys my product. Cool. But you didn't have to pay upfront for that. You're paying for performance. You're paying only when a sale is driven. I think that is the future for a lot of these e-com brands is like, I don't have $10,000 to pay you to go make a couple of YouTube videos and hope that they pop. But I'll give you $30 a sale for every sale that you drive to me. So these performance-driven platforms that are out there, I think is one of the best ways that you can start to have that early traction, have that early success. I mean, that's really what Grommet is. Like most of Grommet is actually free. Like we send free organic traffic, but we do have a promoted component. Like after launch week, you're eligible for something we call promoted discovery, and you only pay us when we send you a sale. You don't pay us anything up front. There's no retainers. There's no sign-up fees, no SaaS fees, no agency, nothing like that. It's like, hey, we sent you 20 sales and that's awesome. Like you should pay us for those, right? Because we sent that traffic to you. We spent our own money to drive that traffic. And I think those are the kind of relationships that you want to look for as an emerging brand is who's got a ton of people that are my target audience. How can I partner with them in either a free or a pay performance type model? And that's going to help you to get that initial traction. That's going to like, I do think paid ads should be part of your strategy. I do think influencers should be part of your strategy. I think organic should be a part of your strategy, but if you have a limited amount of time, maybe this is a side hustle. Maybe this is something you're starting while you have a day job. Maybe you're, again, those early days where you got 1,000 things to do, you don't have all day to do this. How can I get 2, 3, 4 partnerships this week, right? That are going to potentially drive 10, 50, 100,000 sales next week. That's where I'd be spending my time today.
I love that so much, man, because then you can also tap into the data that they've accumulated on all the people. They know the keywords, they know what buying triggers that you have to elicit to get them to make a purchase. And also, I mean, you're talking about joint ventureships. I love these partnerships because you tap into their data, tap into their target audience that they've already collected together for you. There's all kinds of benefits in terms of having to, as opposed to having to pay for the traffic and just tapping into what other people have already done for you. The question becomes, who do you connect with? And I think the answer to this, and I want to hear your viewpoint on this. I got this from Jay Abraham, is what are your clients buying before they buy from you, during the process of using your product, and then after buying from you? And these are all potential joint venture partnerships that you can partner with and say, hey, look, I'm selling these glasses, you're selling these hats. People who buy the glasses are also likely to buy a hat that matches the glasses. And so they're already going to buy a hat. Why not make it your hat? They're already going to buy glasses. Why not make it our glasses? And we can have these synergistic partnerships that naturally come to light by looking at what else people are using with your product. If it's baseball bats, then you can partner with a baseball mitt company. hockey sticks, partner with maybe gloves or a hockey equipment company, right? Whoever has the target audience. How do you think about that process? How do you know who to connect with so that you can tap into their audience and their data and their systems that they've already got in place?
Love that. So first out, shout out Jay Abraham. So I spent a ton of time with Jay Abraham, actually co-produced a documentary on his life. I've been to his home, his wife cooked me dinner, like big Jay Abraham fan. And so, I truly believe that most people, they want to just jump right into ads, and partnerships to me is 100% where it's at. Like even on Grommet, like right now, my number one focus to generate new brands to Grommet is partnerships. And so I'm looking at, all right, we only currently work with Shopify brands. And I'm like, all right, where are all the Shopify brands at? Well, there's like 100,000 apps in the Shopify app store. All of these apps have Shopify brands that use their apps. What if I just go partner with all of these top Shopify apps and say like, hey, you want more users of your apps, or you want to get more sales because that's, you're an upsell. Like you're an upsell app. You help Shopify stores create an upsell. I'm like, cool. Well, I have Grommet where I'm going to send a ton of shoppers to all these stores that you can trigger your upsell app to sell more upsells because you get paid on every transaction. So like, this is how I think all day, is like, who has my customer and how can I create this incredibly synergistic relationship with them? So backing up, I think, again, A, number one is like, who has my customer? B, I think the easiest one for people starting is like, where do I hang out? I don't use Reddit. I probably should, but I don't use Reddit. So I've never created a partnership in Reddit. I'm not trying to go on Reddit boards. Like, it's just not where I live. Like, I'm like older millennial, younger Gen X. And like, I'm on Facebook, man. Like, as cheesy as it is. Like, so I still look at Facebook communities. Like, who's got a big community of like 20,000 Shopify brands on there? Who's got, you know, who runs their paid community on Facebook? Like, that's where I hang out. I listen to podcasts. So I naturally go to, all right, who's got a cool podcast in the e-com space or in the entrepreneur space or, you know, whatever it is. Like, that's where I hang out. So I think it's who's got your audience and where do you hang out? Start there. Because if I went into Discord, I don't know how to freaking use Discord. My mind explodes whenever I open it. If I was trying to use that as my marketing channel, I would fail because I don't know how it works. I don't know the lingo. I don't know like the culture. I don't know any of that stuff. And I would just go in there and I'd look like a doofus, right? But I go into Facebook. I'm like, hey, you got a Facebook group. I see like, dude, can we just do a Facebook Live into your group? Like, I know the language. I know the vernacular. I know how to get people activated there. So I think that's thing one, is know where your audience is. Two, where do you hang out and how can you leverage that? And then three, you hit the nail on the head, is like, how can we find something synergistic that you're going to win and I'm going to win? It shouldn't be I win and you lose. It shouldn't be I win and you just meh. Like, how do we both win? Like, how is this? How can I make your life easy and simple and make this incredible when I'm aging myself now as I look back, but like 8-9 years ago, we had a really cool, I sold a TV show to Entrepreneur, the magazine, and we were doing stuff with their Facebook channel, their email, like all of that. And how I pitched it to them and how we eventually won the deal is, I will do everything for you. Yeah. I'm going to film the show. I'm going to edit the show. I'm going to pay about 20 to 25 grand per episode to make this the best looking TV show on the planet. Then my graphics team is going to create all the Instagram posts, the Facebook posts. We're going to create different content for Instagram versus Facebook versus YouTube. I'm going to write all your newsletter content. I'm going to write the blog posts in HTML. And I'm just going to literally hand you a Dropbox folder with all of that crap in it. So all your team has to do is copy and paste. And they were like, oh shit. Yes. Like, why not? It was so easy for them to say yes.
Why not to? Exactly. That's
100%. Yeah. Most people are like, hey, will you post my stuff and do everything and find the link a design and make a graphic for me? Right. And I'm the opposite. I'm like, dude, I'm going to do literally everything for you. Like whenever someone does like a webinar for Grommet, like, or I'm like, I'll make the landing page. I'll set it up. I'll set up the Zapier. So you get the lead and I get the lead. I'll write the email follow-up copy. I'll make the slide. Like, what do you need me to do? So that all you got to do is show up and talk. And they're like, oh, so like we get the biggest names in the e-commerce world wanting to do stuff for us, not just because Grommet's cool, but because it's easy for them. It's easy for them to say yes. And that is really what you need to think about, is how, you know, just talking about offers earlier, right? How do you make a good e-commerce offer? It's the same way you make a good joint venture or partnership offer, is like, how can I make it so stupid simple? Like you getting me on this podcast, you're like, dude, just show up and talk. And I'm like, all right, cool. I didn't have to fill out 87 page, like, I've been interviewed for podcasts and they're like, fill out this 47 page questionnaire about your life. And I'm like, no, man, I don't want to do that. Like you asked me.
I know.
You know, and so how can you make it easy for the other person to say yes? And sometimes that takes a little bit of work, takes brainstorming, get the whiteboard out, like open up Evernote, whatever you got to do, but make it a win-win for everyone. And those partnerships become so easy.
Mm, The question becomes, how do you do that? I love it so much, man, because we're talking about strategic, high-level thinking. Most people are like, okay, this is the product that I want. This is the product that I'm selling. This is the maybe the if they get really advanced, they get to the target audience and the psychographics and the demographics of what they're talking to. But then you're talking about taking it to the next level of who already has that audience and then how you can connect with them, create one of those synergistic win-win situations so that it's a no-brainer. They would feel stupid saying no to doing a deal with me, right?
Yeah.
And so that's what it comes down to is how do you make it so it's not so much a no-brainer. You do all the work, you split half the profit, or you do all the work and you take 25% of the profit. Make it so that is a complete no-brainer for them to be able to have these relationships with you. I love it, man. So what's a question that I'm not asking that I should be asking that if I were to ask would have the greatest impact on this podcast in terms of value delivered?
Oh, man. I think we talked about a lot of stuff, right? Like I think the hard part is there is a lot to do. You have to love doing the work. And I think a lot of people fall in love with the outcome. They fall in love with the, I'm going to have the nice car, the nice house, the whatever. That, yes, go get all of that stuff. I want you to have it all, right? Like, but you have to be willing to do what's necessary in order to get there. And I think that's hard for a lot of people. Like, you know, for the partnership stuff that we just talked about, it's a lot of work. I got to go figure out who the people are. I got to make a list of all the people. I got to make a spreadsheet. Like, could ChatGPT do that? Could a virtual assistant? Yeah, maybe. Cool. But still, the work's got to get done. Now I got to reach out to all these people. I probably need to make different offers for all of these people because your community is different than your community is different than their thing. And it is a lot of work. And you have to love the work. Like, there's no way around it. You got to love the work. If you don't love the work and you don't love the why, I think it was like the first thing that you and I talked about is just like, you know, like the first thing is like, why did you make this product? And if that isn't a big enough reason why, you're just not going to do the work. Right. It's not going to be sustainable. You might be high off of like an event that you went to or a podcast like this you're listening to, and you're like, yeah, I'm going to go do all that shit. And then like 3 days later, you're like, this shit sucks. Like, yeah. It's hard work.
Do something else. Yeah.
Yeah. And unless hard. You genuinely, like, I love the community I serve so much. I want to help these people because I know what it's like. Like, I don't know if this is going to be video or audio only, but like up here on my shelf, I have boxes and boxes of inventory from one of my failed e-commerce companies. I know how freaking hard it is to sell product. I know how hard it is. And I genuinely want to help every single person that comes to Grommet sell out every single piece of inventory. And that's why I'm willing to stay up late. So I'm willing to do the work. So it's like days suck. Sometimes the work is not fun, but I love the people that I'm working for so much that I'm able to push through. Now, does that mean every day is like roses and unicorns and all that shit? Hell no. Like some days suck, right? Like, but I remember why I'm doing it, who I'm doing it for, the outcome and what we're shooting for, the big goal at the end of it. And so, to bring it back home, you might have heard a cool idea on this, but it's only your execution of it. Ready, fire, aim, get it out into the marketplace, let the marketplace decide how good it is, but you got to be willing to do the work. And I think too many people today want the outcome. They want to just, well, can I just use AI to do it? No, jackass, get down and do the work.
Yeah, for real.
Your audience is amazing. They're not jackasses. But like, but you have to be willing to do some of the work, right? And I think that's something that you have to own and take ownership of. And be willing to do what's necessary to get the business or the life or the, whatever it is that you want.
Keeping the high level viewpoint of what you're doing, not getting so caught in the minutia of it, but keeping the why involved into it, because it's easy to get into the rat race and just, you know, do this ABC, ABC, but it brings back to a story of a construction company who's building a church, and they asked one construction worker, what are you doing? He says, oh, I'm putting bricks up. And the next construction worker, same thing. Oh, I'm putting bricks up. Third one, what are you doing? Oh, I'm creating a place where people are going to worship. He's looking at the bigger picture of it. For the next 100 years, people are going to worship in this building. Every brick that I put up is contributing to the spiritual adventure that people are going to have and have the opportunity to tap into because of this work that I'm doing. So he wasn't putting up bricks. He was contributing to the grand scheme of what he was really doing. And what you're talking about is really having that crystallized on your day-to-day work adventures when you're saying, this kind of sucks right now. It's shit. I got to do fucking tedious work right now. But if we keep in mind the high level picture of it as we're doing it, and it's hard to do that, man. How do you do that? How do you find, like, let's say you're working on some tasks that you don't want to do right now. It's a pain in the ass. It's tedious. It's frustrating. How do you keep in mind that high level picture? So that way you're going to get through it no matter what, because you've got that why. What's your thought?
Super simple, man. So I was opening my phone. I use Evernote. That's my note taker of choice. Don't care what you use. But every day I have something called the morning power up. And I read this every single freaking morning, right? So I get up and I'm like, all right, the optimized version of Greg Rillette. I'm focused on like yada yada yada. But then the first thing that I read is my mission, right? I've helped 2,500 D2C brands get their first 1,000 sales. I've helped 100 brands generate more than $1 million by partnering with GiddyUp. I'm one of the most, like, I remind myself why I'm doing this every morning, right? It takes 2 minutes. Just read through it real quick. I got a couple fancy pictures on there, vision boardy kind of stuff. But every morning, it just sets the tone. It sets the frame. It sets the mind and it trains the mind. And like, this is what we're fighting for, right? And like, it's not, I don't have a big poster up. I'm not like, but it's just cool. 2 quick minutes reminding myself, boom, I'm here to help 2,500 brands get to 1,000 sales. I'm here to help 100 brands hit $1 million this year. I'm here. I'm like, and I'm just like, cool, now let's get to work. And is it a magic potion? No, but it's that reminder. But I literally look at it every single day and I know the direction that I'm going in. And you know, then you do the work, right?
Yeah, you got to get down to it. Man, I love that so much. You think about the individual that you're contributing to, right? Because it's not like you're going to help 1,500 brands hit or 100 brands hit $1 million in sales this year. You're thinking about what the difference that would make for each individual that is able to reach that, thanks to Grommet, thanks to the work that you're putting in. And that is because it's like, if you look at, for example, a charity advertising video, like let's say Feed the Children in Africa, they're not showing 1 million people that you're going to be feeding. They're showing one person whose life is in jeopardy and needs your help right now. And so it's the same thing. You're thinking about one individual who, at the scale, forms the 100 that you're going to help hit 1 million this year. I love that, man. I'm going to start doing that. What are some tips in terms of actually creating that Evernote file so that I can have that fire as soon as I read this every morning?
Yeah,
What's
man.
some
So
tips?
I break it up into a couple things. It's like, who, like at the top, it's like I call it like the optimist version of Greg Rillette. Like optimist is just a cool word. Like, who am I when I'm at my best? And I've got like five things, right? I'm focused on the mission. What is my mission? Like, that's, I have to laser in, right? I think like a stoic, I train like an athlete. I'm gonna create something today, and then I'm grateful for it all, the good, the bad, everything in between, right? So those things, and they're ingrained in my brain, right? Every time I'm on a crappy run in the morning, I'm like, focus on the mission. What's the mission? The mission right now is to finish this run. The mission today is to do this, right? You know, I'm like, I'm thinking like a stoic. Like, I'm in control of my thoughts. I can control how I respond to these situations. Like, I just tell myself these things. But anyway, that's the optimized version of myself. And then I jump into a mission, right? And it's, for me, I look 3 years out. And so it's like, read this as if 3 years into the future. And I've got a bunch of things on there. I read you the top three, but I've got lifestyle ones on there and like things like that. But I just, this is a brainstorm exercise. And the other thing, this is a living document. I change this shit all the time. Like I'm talking like weekly. Maybe I'll find something on Instagram. Like, there's a dude I follow right now, Zach Prograb, or I might have said his name wrong, but he's all about obsession, like obsession core. And like, he writes these amazing pieces. And I've got like 3 or 4 screenshots of his stuff on here. Like, it's baseball season, so I'll see a really cool screenshot of like something to do with baseball or coaching. And I just throw it in here. So it's a living, breathing document. And so I've got the mission in there. I've got a paragraph on a 5-year vision. I've got a paragraph on 1-year goals. And then I've got a paragraph on like my current goals. Like, current goal, we've just successfully launched Grommet, the number one platform for shoppers to discover what's next. We're changing the way shopping's done online and giving makers, inventors, and small business owners a platform to be discovered and launch their product to millions of shoppers, right? Boom. Just real quick paragraph. And again, these are all moving. I've got a couple quotes in there that I just like to remind myself. And then I've just got like these images, like, you know, like just lifestyle stuff, like just vision boardy kind of things.
Love it. Yeah.
And that's it, man. That's the whole thing. Like, it doesn't have to be overly complex. It doesn't have to be perfect. You know, I modeled this off of a guy, Taylor Welsh, who had like this morning formula stuff, but like, I just did it my own way. I was like, I don't like yours. Yours is like, takes 30 minutes to read. Like, I don't want to do all that, right? Like, I want like a quick 2-minute reminder, right? Like, who are you when you're at your best? What are we trying to achieve? And then like, what are some inspiring things that just, when you look at it, like, they just make you happy. Like, oh yeah, this is what I'm shooting for. This is what I'm trying to do. This is the life that
Reminder.
I want to have. This is the life that I'm having now. Like, I got pictures of my kids now, because it's not all about the future. It's about being grateful for the present too. And so anyway, it's just 2, 3 minutes, quick, boom, boom, boom in the morning, just to set your mind up.
And it's something you can share with your employees too, not all of it, but the vision stuff, so that they can be the construction worker who's looking at the grand scheme of it, as opposed to getting caught in the minutia. So by sharing the vision, because a lot of employees won't have that vision of what they're really contributing to, and then
Yeah.
the work gets monotonous, and then they start to fall back in performance goals. If you really give them that vision, then they're at the same time getting that same vision that you are, and now you're all working towards the same vision together, which is it's a beautiful thing, man. So, dude, I think we covered a hell of a lot today, brother. together. I think we covered the tactics on what to do to improve your sales. And then we got into the visionary stuff in terms of the mindset and how you can go about optimizing the way you're thinking about your company. What else do you have to offer, man? We'll wrap this up, but what's another thing that we can touch on before we kick this off? Love it, by the way.
Stop listening, give a review of this podcast, because I know that's going to help your show. And then get to freaking work, right? Like, I think that's the big thing, man. Get to work, leave a review, because Kyle would love it, right? So that's action step number one. That's helping him out. That's the best way to say thanks for me for being here and for Kyle for having the show. Leave a review. And then two, get to work, do something. I think the best thank you I've ever gotten is like, Greg, I tried this, like I did this, it worked, like whatever that it is. And so if you heard something today, like don't say, man, thanks for the great tips, freaking do something that we talked about. I don't care what. It didn't have to be something that I said, but just go do something. And then, you know, I think that's the best thank you on the planet for like people like us is like, hey, Kyle, I listened to your show. This guy, Greg, he said this cool thing and I tried it. Like, that's the coolest for like us. That's the best feeling in the world, right? Is like, I'm high energy, sometimes entertaining, but like do the shit that we talk about and cool things might happen.
Right. Cause you can't, like, you get a good feeling from learning the things, but then actually doing the things is another thing. And, you know, it comes to mind. I did an interview recently with an individual who was a tax or a financial strategist, and I'm buying a house right now. And he told me, instead of buying the house on a 25-year variable mortgage, cause I was thinking interest rates would go down, he told me to buy it on a 30-year fixed mortgage. And then when the interest rates dropped to where I wanted, then refinance at that interest rate.
Yeah.
And I did, I had no freaking idea, but we didn't learn this in school. It's like, okay. So I got off the call. Called my mortgage specialist right away, actually did what he told me to do because it made a lot of sense to me. I said, okay. And then I let that guy know that, hey, man, what you just told me is going to save me a fuck ton of money. And I actually did it. And you light up when you hear that, because it's
the best compliment in the world.
Right. Yeah. You see, I love that, man. So thank you for that, dude. Greg, dude, we had an awesome time today. I appreciate you. You dropped some bombs, visionary, tactical wise. Thank you for being here. Seriously.
Thanks for inviting me, man. This has been a ton of fun.
All right. I hope you enjoyed that podcast episode. And if you want to get a free copy of my book, go to kylesbook.com and you can get a copy there. I'll talk with you soon.